Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By the way, I heard a description of, or a definition of what an Alaskan is, maybe what can apply here, and that is anybody that's been here longer than you have. But anyway, that wasn't my question. You had said that Duck Island, that there were a number of other leases that were just straight leases there, and because the oil companies just use incremental costs to develop fields, that they could find these profitable under the net profit leasing scenario. My question is, under the Kupik, no, oh, is that Kuparik, short for Kuparik?
No, Kupik is a unit that has been formed but is not producing.
Anyway, my question is that does that not exist here? Are there not mixed leases within that unit or within these other units that weren't developed? Do you know, and I know you won't have an answer for all of them, but generally speaking, do they not have that same advantage that the ones that have been developed have?
It looks to me that as if most of the units in the Kupik, or most of the leases in the Kupik unit are net profit, from the information I have here, but it is not under production right now.
I guess that was the point I'm trying to get to, is that the ones that aren't under production, is it fairly consistent that they don't have that advantage of having other net profit leases around them so that they have the infrastructure already built up to...
I think the issue is oil. Don't have enough oil.
So that isn't the case. In Duck Island, the point you had made was that they had other fields around them that were on a straight
lease. Well, they have other leases that are part of the unit. Plus, I will say that we've never gotten any money from the net profits provisions of the Duck Island leases.
Yet.
Nothing from nothing.
I guess you haven't answered my question. Okay. I'm trying to mean maybe there is no trend here. What I was extrapolating from the fact that you said at Duck Island there were other royalty agreements that made Duck Island profitable for, well, at least feasible for the oil companies to develop.
I think it makes the net profits more livable if they ever kick in, because they get to spread that really over other leases. It's not clear that the net profits of Duck Island will ever kick in.
And then, can I then go a step further on the Kupik unit and say that one of the reasons they are not developing, they're not under production, is that they don't have the advantage of having other straight royalty leases around them, making the net profit scenario attractive?
I don't know that we can jump to that conclusion. Okay. I think it's more an issue than that unit of not enough oil, given where it is.
Thanks.
Representative Terrio.
Thank you. Just looking at, it appears 1980 through 84 were the only times that we've considered this net profit mechanism. Of course, price of oil had gone way up. In 84, we were riding the crest. And I think you testified earlier that price of oil was supposed to continue on up. And just trying to do a little bit of research into what the thinking was back then, I think part of what strikes me as part of the decision back then was we put in a system that would defer some of the revenue that we would make from our oil. We wouldn't get it until the net profits kicked in. But there was testimony back then from Philip Sorensen to the testimony before the Interim Committee on Oil and Gas Leasing Policy, and this was in 1979, so just before we went into this, basically saying that net profit leases were not something that we should pursue, that economically they didn't make sense, they were fraught with all kinds of downside, and it seems like now, 10 years later, a lot of those predictions have come true. And I'm just wondering, can you tell me, is there, after 84, was there any discussion that we should continue issuing net profit leases, or was there finally a decision that these things don't work to the best benefit of the state, and so we should just discontinue this mechanism?
Well, we have not done any since 84, largely, I think, because when you assume lower oil prices, you're less likely to want to share the risk with the industry. And, of course, what net profits does is, to a certain extent, share the risk. it is not something that is necessarily totally off the table. It has been raised a couple times since I've been commissioner, particularly with one prospective field by a company about a way to do it that was a speculative field. We have not done it, however. The Oil and Gas Policy Council has suggested that the state might want to, in order to encourage development, take more risk. If we did that, where we went into some profit sharing there, first of all, I wouldn't necessarily use the system we have. I might use a more traditional accounting system than the one that we have developed here, which I think gives a good benefit to the oil company no matter what. And in this case, where a company can earn a substantial amount of interest off of money they never spent, a huge benefit.
So that accounting system, you mean this
the net profit, yeah, the development account, how you use it, how it's paid off,
and the timing,
and the runs time, the lease and the amount of interest. I mean, prime is above what any of those companies borrow at, so they get a benefit right just in that, even if they spend the money. There are other people that have talked about if you go to a more profit base, that you use what they call a profit proxy, of which price can be a profit proxy, so that you gear your take to price. It's a simpler methodology to use, which is essentially what we did with the supplemental royalty. We used a price scenario with an inflation factor, which is that, and of course volume are the two large driving forces behind profit.
Could you talk a little bit about the supplemental royalty and that mechanism? I was looking at the computation here. I'm not quite sure I understand it all, so I was wondering if you can just work through that.
Yeah, I'll try to work through it.
And the price that triggers it escalates?
Yeah. What happens is we right now start at a price of $17.35. Anything above that, you start to get the supplemental royalty, and it just goes up in a straight line as the price goes up. However, the price is adjusted for half the inflation factor on an annual basis. So if the inflation rate were 20%, I'm doing this because the math is easy, and you'd take half of that, which would be 10%, and you would add $1.75 to the price, and then that would become the floor which you go up on. I mean, obviously 20% is a high inflation. Or if it was 2%, then you would be adding $1.75. I mean, that's 17.5 cents.
Is that 17.35 wellhead?
That's ANS West Coast.
West Coast.
But now, are we picking a date and time to start that escalator? And
when
it's going to be way out ahead of us and never triggers the supplemental?
Well, I think the date is the date of the agreement.
Bring him up.
April 96.
Following along that line, I don't mean to interrupt Representative Terrio, but Commissioner, it is a pertinent point. How often would we see the inclusion of this factor? How often would it kick in this past year?
Right now, it'd be kicking in very nicely. I don't have the graph on this year's prices.
Seven and a half percent in addition to the 20%?
And it's capped at no more than 7.5%?
Yes.
That's the maximum.
Representative Brown, you have a question?
Yeah, I have several more for the Commissioner.
Pardon me?
I have several more questions
for
the Commissioner.
We are going to, I can't quite see the clock. I guess it's about 7 till.
These work well.
I'm not quite reached your stature yet, Representative Martin. It was the light. We do have a person on teleconference. Mr. Scott, are you still on teleconference? In relation to another bill, I guess we lost him. I just wanted to get his testimony written and sent in. We will go until the bell rings, and then we'll reconvene again this afternoon. So we'll go until then. Representative Brown.
Okay, four of these five leases already had the 20% base royalty, correct?
That's correct.
And the fifth lease that was raised from 12.5% to 20% has no production allocated to it. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
In deciding how to approach this, did you look to the conditions in 3805-180J, the House Bill 207? How would you describe the difference between the process that's anticipated there for a royalty reduction versus the net profit elimination that you proposed here? Did you essentially try to follow the requirements that are set out in the law for reducing royalties?
I don't know what you mean by the requirements. If you mean, did we try to get the same kind of information from BP that we would get in a 207 application, the answer is yes. We did not, however, attempt to go through the 16-step process that is laid out in HB 207.
And did you not feel those were comparable decisions, or why did you not choose to follow the process laid out in the statute?
Because we went directly to the legislature for approval, because there was no legislative authority to use that process for decision-making, that's why.
Could you elaborate on that point just briefly, Commissioner, about the applicability of 207?
207 was designed to look at marginal oil fields, and during that process, among other findings that the commissioner has to make, is that the royalty reduction is necessary for the development, economically necessary. As I've stated in previous committees, we cannot make such a finding with North Star. We believe that economically, some oil company might develop North Star under the net profits. There's a 20% rate of return, as I've said, so it's not a marginal oil field. We can't make that kind of finding. However, the timing, again, of when that development would take place with BP, or what would happen if we ultimately got the leases back later on, or issues that were of concern and were different kinds of issues than you would probably see in most 207 applications. Although I will say that, and also another issue is whether net profits are a royalty, which is another problem. Some people think it is, some people think it isn't. 207 clearly relates to a royalty reduction, and all of the testimony was about going from 12.5 or something down to 3. And as a matter of fact, I think I specifically testified that I did not believe that 207 applied to the to net profit shares.
Did you hire any outside contractors to help you assess the hydrocarbon potential production, the economics, and so forth, as the statute allows you to do, and to have the lessee pay for the selection or pay for hiring this independent contractor to assist the commissioner in making this decision?
No. Actually, in this case, in terms of the oil in place and the recoverable reserves, because we had been able to look at the field for some time, our geologists were very confident in those numbers, and we used our in-house economists to do the economic modeling.
In going through the file, I found some materials that indicate you did at least consider or send out an RFP to hire outside expertise. Why was that not followed through with?
I don't recall doing that, and I don't know the answer to that.
Did you make preliminary or final written findings that document these trade-offs and show how you reached your decision?
I don't believe we did, no. And the reason for that was that we thought that we would make the public record in front of the legislature as to why we did it. That was the place to make that record.
And again, I just say, Commissioner, it seems like that the kinds of changes that are contemplated here, while I agree, this says if you're doing it in a case where it's not economic, that this is still a comparable situation, it would have been a good idea to go through these procedures so that the public could participate, so that you would have a rigorous written record and analysis.
Well,
was that not considered,
mean,
or you just didn't think it was timely, or there wasn't?
Well, first of all, I testified repeatedly that the process in 207 is an onerous process. Last year, the legislature took what we suggested is a three-step process, which we concurred with the House could go to a step process and made it into a 16% step process. It's the kind of thing that I think is bad government. It's one of the reasons that people are so frustrated with government is because we can't get decisions made because we have that kind of just step after step after step. So to apply a law, first of all, that doesn't, I think, in anybody's estimation, apply to this situation, and use a process that I think is unnecessarily onerous, made absolutely no sense to me. And I firmly believe that we would have, from the beginning, we would have the responsibility to make the record for our decision in front of the legislature. That was the appropriate place to make it. I never really considered any other way if I had not felt that I was going in front of the legislature to make this record and to ask somebody else to vote on my decision, then I think the kind of situation that's called for in 207 is correct. In 207, there is no final legislative approval. There's a review. So I think it's a much different situation, and I'm very comfortable in the process we used. We came to a decision. It's getting, I think, very full public review, and that's as it should be.
Did you do any oil price sensitivity analysis to compare the net profit capturing of upside and downside versus your supplemental royalty?
Yes.
And what did that show?
I don't have the figures, all of them, in front of me. I know on the downside, basically, there's no net profits if you use the state's low price. And we can get you the figures this afternoon on the upside, what that does to net profits.
Mr. Chairman, I've distributed in the packet of materials with the chart on the front. Three pages in is a running that shows that if oil prices are just 10% higher than the state's base case assumes, there is a significant benefit in use of the net profit or reliance on the net profit. And intuitively, it seems right, and you've indicated and implied that in your comments that price can be a proxy for profit, that we were capturing the upside in the supplemental royalty. I'd say my looking at it does not confirm that that's the case. I think we are giving away a significant part of the upside by the way that this is structured. I do agree that supplemental royalty protects us on the downside, and I just wondered if you have any comments on that.
No, I mean, I think that is exactly the situation. Clearly if BP drives down the capital costs even further, there's lots more oil and the price is way higher, we've made an error. On the other hand, even under our price scenario, even a small increase in the CapEx expense eliminates the net profit. The timing for the net profits it can be a considerable problem. I happen to personally think that the state's oil forecasts, the mid-case, is somewhat aggressive. And so I felt that we were using, an aggressive price to start with. So those are the kinds of decisions that we had to make. And I think you've correctly identified what the trade-offs are. We decided that given getting certainty was worth making some of those and leave it to the legislature to decide whether or not we were correct.
Have you calculated or attempted to calculate the effects of delay on the projected benefits that you're hypothesizing? In other words, if there is a lawsuit filed over this bill, should it be approved in this package, would the anticipated benefits evaporate?
Well, if the lawsuit's filed, there are a variety of things that could happen. I would guess that the main thrust of the lawsuit would probably be over whether or not this was an appropriate arrangement. If that lawsuit prevailed, then BP would go back to the net profits because it would be determined that the legislature and the executive branch had no authority for this. I would assume such a lawsuit would take somewhere between 3 and 5 years. So we would then be looking at an even further delay of any net profit benefit. So I have not, I don't know that we've run anything about what happens to the supplemental royalty if we started in 2002 and you can pick a year. I think we could run that. But the same effect is on the net profits. And to a certain extent, I think the effect is worse on the net profits because of the accumulation of the development account at about $20 a year.
Of course, it depends on other considerations also. Would you agree that it would depend on the size of the field and the price have a lot to do with
right. Actually,
what will happen? I'm just speaking about, you're hypothesizing a lot of benefits because of this early start.
Well, let me, actually, we have run this. And what it shows is that the longer we delay, the better the supplemental royalty becomes. If we delay to year 2003, the supplemental royalty goes to over $80 million. And if we go delay to 2003, the net profit falls down to under $20 million. And I think you only go out another 2 years, and the net profit goes to zero. So we have run that. And delay actually benefits us.
Which
under
case are you under there?
That's the mid-case.
The mid-case. And there would be significantly different numbers in the higher recovery cases, would there not?
I don't know if they would be significant or not.
Representative Terrio, for a final question, and I think we will head down.
Just to comment on that, I guess back in the 80s, they were expecting, you know, the price to go way up, too, and that affected their thinking. Didn't happen.
Mid-80s.
And to sit here now and try and predict, well, is the price going to go through the roof? You know, it's anybody's guess. I just wanted to touch on the fiscal note. The commission did bring it up, and this is one thing, and in the DNR budget subcommittee, month and a half ago, we determined that we would not cut the agency budget to squeeze this in, that the fiscal note would go along, or the fiscal impact would go along with the bill if the bill passed, so that's reflected in this fiscal note.
I think we will recess until 1:30 this afternoon. I know Representative Brown has numerous other questions, and we will hear from the industry and also from Mr. Baldwin. At that point in time. Commissioner, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate everybody attending. And with that, we are recessed until 1:30 this afternoon.